About 3 months ago, Mr. Duncan asked me if I would speak on one Sunday, and I agreed to do that. The next Sunday, he came up and he said that the new standard was if you spoke once, you had to speak twice. So I didn't have too much choice but to accept that offer as well. So deciding what I would, next decision was what I was going to speak on for two Sundays. And the other requirement was that there be some continuity. So I thought about, well, maybe I'll do 1st and 2nd Corinthians, or maybe I'll do 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, or maybe I'll be presumptuous and do 1st and 2nd John and be invited back for 3rd John. But I didn't want to stick entirely with the New Testament, so I thought about 1st and 2nd Chronicles, 1st and 2nd Kings, 1st and 2nd Isaiah. You guys awake? Yes. Okay. As I thought about it, it became quite obvious to me that there are two very logical divisions, two very logical topics about which I could speak. So what I've chosen to do is to speak on the Old Testament and on the New Testament. Pastor Cole, I'm sure, will forgive me for not reading the entire text this morning. But in my reading of the Old Testament, there was one theme that kept recurring. And the theme is so simple that I'm afraid if I tell you, you're all going to laugh at me. The theme is that God is God. God is God. Some statements appear to be simple on the outside, such as this statement, but when we look at it a little deeper, there are a lot of complexities in the simple statement that God is God. I want to take you through three things that God continuously reveals about himself over and over and over and over again in the Old Testament. First thing that God reveals is that he is the creator. Fundamental importance of this is stated in the very first verse of the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Many times, God refers to himself as the creator. Thus saith the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and its offspring, who gives birth to the people on it and spirit to those who walk in it. Jeremiah 10:11. Thus you shall say to them, the gods that did not make the heavens and the earth shall perish from the earth and from under the heavens. It is he who made the earth by his power, who established the world by his wisdom. And by his understanding, he has stretched out the heavens. When he utters his voice, there is a tumult of waters in the heavens, and he causes the clouds to ascend from the end of the earth. He makes lightning for the rain and brings out the wind. Every man is stupid, devoid of knowledge. Every goldsmith is put to shame by his idols, for his molten images are deceitful, and there is no breath in them. They are worthless, a work of mockery in the time of their punishment. They will perish, but the portion of Jacob is not like these, for he is the maker of all, and Israel is the tribe of his inheritance. There are thousands, hundreds of verses that state that God is the creator. And why is this important? It's important because if he is the creator, he also has the ability to control that creation. Think about all the marvels of creation. Think about a flower and its intricacies. Think about the mountains and their majesty. Think about the oceans and their depth and breadth. All this is from the mind of one man, of one person. We think people who are great, who can sculpt the statue David, who can paint the Mona Lisa, who can discover electricity, who can conceive of the steam engine. But think of all these creations rolled up into the mind of one person and multiply it by hundreds and thousands. God is creative and has made everything, and it reflects on who He is. And because He is able to control it, He's also able to do miracles, what we would call miracles. Are you surprised in the Old Testament when God divides the Red Sea and the people cross on dry land? Are you surprised when He strikes a rock and out comes water? Are you surprised when He calls down fire from heaven and it consumes entire cities? Or when He delivers men from the mouth of lions or from a burning furnace unscathed and don't even smell like smoke? Do these things surprise you? We think of them as miracles, but they're not. They're God being God and controlling His creation. And the reason He does this is to show His power and proclaim His name through all the earth. When Moses came to Pharaoh, he said to him, "Rise up early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh and say to him, 'Thus saith the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, let my people go that they may serve me. For this time I will send all my plagues on you and your servants and your people, so that you may know that there is no one else like me in all the earth. For if by now I had put forth my hand and struck you and your people with pestilence, you would have then been cut off from all the earth. But indeed, for this cause I have allowed you to remain, in order to show my power and in order to proclaim my name through all the earth." So, first, it's very apparent that in the entire Old Testament, God is creator. Second, God reveals that He demands obedience. As the creator, He has the right to make the rules. And He's really only made two rules: honor God and honor man. We sang a song this morning from Micah 6:8. "He has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God." There's only really two rules: honor God and honor man. And on the basis of these two rules, and on the response to these, is God's judgment and blessing on the nation Israel. God didn't clobber them for not bringing sacrifices and not observing feasts and not coming to the temple and stuff like that. He clobbered them because they forgot Him and because they dealt unjustly with their brothers. He clobbered them because of verses like 9:8. "With his mouth one speaks peace to his neighbor, but inwardly he sets an ambush for him. Everyone is greedy for gain, and from the prophet even to the priest, everyone deals falsely." And here's one. Those who say, "Keep to yourself, do not come near me, for I am holier than you," these are smoke in my nostrils and a fire that burns all day. God has not changed in 4,000 years. From the time He made these two rules, they're still the same, and He expects them to be obeyed. And He promises blessing and judgment for either obedience or disobedience. Think of the blessings that God provided to Israel. They had homes they didn't build. They had furniture they didn't purchase. They were given crops and vineyards and olive trees that they didn't plant. they were given entire cities that they didn't build. God promised blessing of health. He promised families. I think 4 was the right number, he said, for a family. Just kidding. He promised health, blessing, prosperity, the rains in their season. But also, look at the curse that he promised for disobedience. Many times there was judgment by instant death. Earthquakes swallowed entire families. Fire consumed entire cities. Floods consumed the entire earth. God expects obedience, and he still expects obedience today. It's amazing that the Old Testament even has survived after reading through it, because a great deal of it is God's judgment on Israel. Why would Israel want to preserve a book that makes them look so bad? I mean, let's go hide it. These are all our sins, all our dirty laundry is aired to the entire world, preserved for thousands and thousands of years. The only reason it's preserved is because of the other character of God that he reveals over and over and over again, and that is his mercy and grace. Israel started out as a nobody, and God made them his people. Let me read Ezekiel, some verses from Ezekiel, to tell you what Israel was like and what God did for them. Where is it? Oops, I'm missing a verse here. And he said to me, oh, poo, I'm off. Wait a second. Well, I can't find it, but I remember what it says. Israel was like an abandoned child, newly born. The umbilical cord was still uncut. It was still covered with afterbirth. It was lying in the wilderness, and it was forsaken. God came along and picked him up, washed him off, clothed them, raised them, bewedded them, gave them fine clothes, rings on their fingers, bracelets, earrings, anything, everything that they needed, such that they became royalty. He dealt graciously with Israel and chose them. And that's why they continued to preserve the Old Testament, because even when they failed, God dealt faithfully with them. And even when they failed, God's faithful promise to keep them as a nation is going to be fulfilled. They're forsaken of God, but they wait for the day when God's mercy and faithfulness will once again be restored. And it's not because of them. God is not going to restore them because of them, but because he's faithful. Isaiah 49:15. Can a woman forget her nursing child and have no compassion on the son of her womb? Even these may forget, but I will not forget you. For the mountains may be removed and the hills may shake, but my loving kindness will not be removed from you, says the Lord, who has compassion on you. God is not a God of rules only. He's also a God of promises and compassion. God would rather show blessing than judgment. And he never will abandon Israel. And he never abandons people at all. And he doesn't do it based on their obedience. He's going to bring them back. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. And you will be careful to observe my ordinances. And you will live in the land. God's going to change their hearts. He's going to give them a new heart. That's grace. The three things that are reoccurring themes in the Old Testament that reveal God. He's creator. He demands obedience. He is also gracious. So what? My theory is that if you understand God, you can make God known. To know God is to make God known. If you know God, it's going to change your life. If you know that God's creator has all things in control, are you going to be afraid to pray for miracles? Miracles are simply God's control. Are you going to be afraid that you might make God look impotent to pray for miracles, for dreams, for revival in the land, for repentance, for a lost family member, whatever? Sin. Do you know that God takes obedience seriously? Do you know he cares how you deal with the people at work, how you bid on a job, how you review your employees, how you treat your family, how you relate to people in the congregation? He does. It ought to change your life to know that God expects obedience. Third, he's merciful. Do you know that you're nothing? You're like Israel, who is abandoned, you're puny. Think of the world. Think of the history. Think of the millions who have walked on the earth. We're not very much at all. But God shows mercy and grace to each one of us. It ought to change your life to know who God is. Because to know God is to make him known. And that's just another way of saying that our purpose here is to glorify God. Let me just finish with a verse from Jeremiah. I'm just going to go there. Thus says the Lord, let not a wise man boast of his wisdom, and let not the mighty man boast of his might. Let not a rich man boast of his riches, but let him who boasts boast in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, who exercises loving kindness, justice, and righteousness on the earth. For I delight in these things, declares the Lord. Let's pray. Our Father, help us to know you as God. God who created us. God who controls the world. God who expects obedience. God who is merciful. That our lives might reflect who you are to the dying world. In Jesus' name, amen.